Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I share a few of my favorite fat things. I chat with Patty Thomas about fat stigma, and I spotlight a blog from the Fat Heffalump. When I came into the station today, the station manager told me that Friend of Maryland was accessed online more than any other show for the month of September. This is obviously great news both for the station and for myself, because it means that there's actually people out there listening. So thanks, listeners. I appreciate it. I thought today I would start by sharing some of my favorite fat things for all of the many people who are tuning in with me every week. One of my favorite fat things that's happened recently was that Melissa McCarthy won the Emmy for her work on Mike and Molly. Now, I haven't been watching the show Mike and Molly myself, just because it seems like more of an excuse to laugh at fat people rather than with fat people. But I did love the work that she did when she played Sukie St. James on The Gilmore Girls. And I really appreciate any time a fat person, whether it be a man or a woman, is acknowledged for the work that they do, even if they're having to do it in a stereotypical fat way. Another one of my favorite fat things at the moment is the show Huge, which has finally started here in New Zealand. Huge is a show that ran on ABC Family for only a year before being canceled, and it's just started here. And while I'm a little nervous about where the show might go and what kind of predictable turns it could take, I'm optimistic based on the first two episodes that I've seen. Basically, what we have is a bunch of fat teenagers and fat kids who've been sent to a weight loss camp, Camp Victory, by their parents. Many of them are returning to the camp for the second or third or just multiple times. And we are introduced to a wide range of different type of fat kids, which is great right off the bat that they're not all the same, because we know that not all fat people, just like not all people, are the same. In the first couple of episodes, we've been introduced to some relatively stereotypical types of characters. So we have the young girl named Amber, who is the least fat of all of them and also very kind of traditionally pretty. And then we have the main character of the show, played by Nikki Blonsky, whose character's name is Will. And Will identifies very early in the show as someone who isn't that ashamed of her body, who doesn't want to be at fat camp. She calls herself an angry feminist, which just blows my mind that a show produced by ABC would allow something like that to be on air, because she's not saying it ironically or self-effacing or as a joke, but seriously. And she just is seeming to me to be a character that I could absolutely love. I especially appreciate it in the second episode, where she, in a letter that she's writing to her parents that she doesn't end up sending, she challenges them for sending her to fat camp and for not loving her for who she is and the way that she looks, for telling her that she's not good enough in the many ways that they have. Other great things about Huge include the fact that Ashley Fink was on the show. I guess that's what she did before she did Glee. And I love me some Ashley Fink. And of course, I now have a new phrase to use thanks to the show, which is called fatspiration. So basically on the show, what happens is that the traditionally least fat pretty girl, Amber, has lots of pictures around her bunk of extremely thin girls, and she calls that her thinspiration. And so Will, being the fantastic angry feminist that she is, she surrounds her bunk with pictures of fat women, and she calls it her fatspiration. So I'm going to adopt that phrase, fatspiration, and I will be looking for elements of fatspiration in my own life as well. I encourage you to look for some in yours. One of my other favorite fat things, and this isn't something necessarily that's recent, but it's always something I come back to, is the book Fatso by Marilyn Wan. Most of you know that the name of the show, Friend of Maryland, is because Marilyn Juan was the first person to inspire in me the idea that I'm awesome and I'm fabulous and I'm fat and all of these things are okay. Her book Fatso, which was published quite a while ago in 1998 and is still in print, is a really excellent book for anyone who is new to the ideas of fat acceptance or fat liberation. It's a very user-friendly book, so it's got lots of comedy in it, and it's very kind of takes you along the journey and introduces you to the radical concepts that she has in a very user-friendly kind of way. It has several built-in toys, which is always a good thing in a book, including a Venus of Willendorf paper doll. It also includes things like the Fatso Manifesto. It has Fatso trading cards. It has a lot of great sections throughout of fat women sharing their own stories and also some common phrases that can come in handy if, as a fat person, including comebacks for when people are mean or snarky at you. She's also got a section about how to tell when you're on a diet, which is one of my favorites, because she talks about how quite often diet doublespeak occurs where people believe that diets are bad. And so when they engage in dieting activity, they don't call it a diet. So some of the stuff that she talks about is if you weigh yourself as often as you brush your teeth, you're on a diet. If you've ever said this isn't a diet, it's a lifestyle change, you're on a diet. And if you're trying to lose weight, then you're on a diet. So the book is fantastic. And for anyone out there who doesn't have a copy, I'd strongly recommend that you buy one and that you buy one for your mom and that you buy one for your best friend and that you buy one for all the people that you love in your life. Me is Patty Thomas, a medical sociologist from Las Vegas who has been involved in fat activism for the last 10 years. Patty, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Well, I'm very excited to have a sociologist to talk to. I have background in sociology as well. And I know that a lot of the work that you've been doing in your career has focused on stigma. Tell me about that.
Well, I became interested in stigma, of course, during graduate school. We had to read Goffman and really think about that. And I immediately loved it because I've come from very marginalized backgrounds. I mean, I've been stigmatized in a lot of different ways. And so I recognized immediately when I started reading about it what it meant. And so it sort of became, you know, my interest. And I've done it with an intersection with gender, and I've looked at it with an intersection of race and ethnicity, as well as aging and health and fat and a lot of other different categories, and of course, class as well. So a lot of what I've done in my career since graduating in 2001 has stemmed around stigma in one way or another. My first job out of school, I actually worked in Canada for a while, and I was part of an interdisciplinary team and the only sociologist who was working on this team. And I got to conduct, and now I can't remember what you call them. Okay, there we go. Focus groups. Sorry, what brain.
No, that's all right.
Going through my brain file there. Now, I get to conduct focus groups throughout Canada with older adults, talking to them about why they didn't use assistive devices, and was able to take a look at how the stigma of aging affected how, you know, people use these devices, and we actually got to make a PSA.
Oh, cool.
That encouraged people to think twice about aging stigma and also to not fear using devices in public. So, you know, I've seen it very practical as well. And while we were in Canada, my husband and I did a radio show together. We're actually just now putting up the, we have 50 episodes, and we're actually going to start making them available on TradeBit for low cost to download, to stream. And the name of the show was First Person Plural, and it was a sociology show. I don't know of any other sociology radio shows, so I think we were pretty original in that. And we basically did, you know, anything that involved two or more people. So we did everything from, like, marriage, and there was a woman who had sex toy parties in Vancouver that we covered, all the way up to we did some stuff about the war in Iraq, because that was big news during the time we were doing the show. So, but we did a lot of stigma work in that, looking at stigma. And then, of course, we wrote first Taking Up Space together, which is my memoir, but my husband helped write that. And I wanted to just say a word of why I work with my husband a lot. As a sociologist, I think it's really important to have more than one point of view. And so I've tried in almost every project that I've ever done to collaborate with somebody else, to co-author or to be on a team or something like that, because I think that if you're going to do sociology, you should do it from a plural point of view. And his background is in organizational studies, so we fit very well together in terms of looking at people in groups, I guess, in organizations. So I'm very happy to be married to somebody who, you know, kind of is compatible with me on that as well.
Yeah, that sounds really nice.
So we've done, you know, a lot of these projects together because we think about this stuff together and because we talk, and you know, forever about all of these things. And so that's been the focus of really our work together. And also, he's a very creative person. He's got a background in music and is a video producer and so forth. So he's got, you know, that creative aspect to it that has helped me learn how to be more creative in presenting this, so I don't just sound like a boring academic. So, which I can go to very fast if you want me to, but I don't think you do. So, but that's sort of like where we've been. We're doing some really cool stuff right now. We've started this channel called PDA Nation on YouTube, and now we've moved it into a blog format on More Me to Love, the website More Me to Love. Also, personally, I'm blogging on Psychology Today. I was invited to do that to talk about fatism. And the name of that blog is I Take Up Space. And that's really where I write a lot about stigma now. And also, my husband and I have been invited. I'm not sure that we're going to do this, but maybe by the time this airs, we probably will have, by Psychology Today to blog together. We both deal with chronic illnesses, and I don't think there are a lot of couples that have really talked about how you play the caregiver role and the sick role together. And so Psychology Today has asked us to blog about that and about what it's like to be in a relationship where you're both a caregiver and somebody who's dealing with chronic illness. So, and that has, I think, some overlap with Health at Every Size, and certainly we are going to make sure that it has some overlap with that if we talk about it.
So tell me,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you mentioned PDA Nation. A lot of people listening might not actually know what that is.
Right, public displays of adiposity. And the reason that we call it that is because last year, Marie Claire, a blogger, said that she didn't even like to see fat people in public walking around. So we make sure that we always film someplace out in public, and we kiss a lot.
Nice.
So, and we blow kisses to other people, too.
And adiposity means?
Fat.
Excellent.
Adiposity is fat tissue. So instead of public displays of affection, we put in adiposity. We're being fat in public.
Being fat in public. That's
yeah. And
awesome.
I heard something the other day, and we're also out as fat, as a fat couple. So he's not really fat, but the idea is that there's a really cute blog entry that I read, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the blog.
Anyway, are you talking about Shoshi's in it being in an openly fat relationship?
Openly fat relationship. That's it.
Yeah. No, I'm going to have her on the show soon.
Are you really?
Oh, cool. I loved that piece. Yes.
I loved it too. And that's exactly what we're doing on PDA Nation. We're in an openly fat relationship.
So do you have other people as well contributing to PDA Nation, or is it just videos of you and your husband?
At the moment, it's just been us, but I would love to be able to bring people. Now, it's not totally been us. There's been a couple of times when we've been out at our favorite pizza joint, and the guy who owns the restaurant and the woman who owns the morning business there, the breakfast, came on camera and offered our viewers some free food. But but other than, you know, some sort of advertisement, which, you know, we did in relation so we can film at their restaurant, we haven't had anybody on. Now, that may change soon because as we're taping this, the American Sociological Association is coming to town here in Las Vegas this coming weekend. And I'm thinking about, you know, I'm meeting with several other fat sociologists, fat studies people.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking about interviewing them on camera. So by the time this airs, we may have had some people on. So
how did you get involved with the Psychology Today blogging?
Oh, that was really weird. I basically reviewed a book. This has nothing to do with fat studies at all, but there's this guy, I like his website. He writes a lot about career choices and that kind of thing, and about doing what you're passionate about and so forth. And he writes about it in a more sociological way. Most of these guys who write about this are just kind of like think positively and so forth. And this guy I really like because he writes about, you know, what your contribution to the world is and who's out there trying to stop you, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. And so he wrote a book, and the book is called The Art of Nonconformity. And so I went on Amazon. I got a free copy of the book in exchange for being willing to write a review of it on Amazon.com. So I got the book. I liked it. And I'm interested in it because I teach at a community college. So there are a lot of, I counsel a lot of students who are trying to figure out what they want to do in their lives, right?
Right.
So this is a website that I've frequently told them to go look at and a book that I'd recommend to them. So I wrote about, you know, I wrote about this from a community college point of view. And I've gotten more hits on that review than I've had on my own author's page for the book. You know, like 250, 300 people the last time I looked had read it and rated it. Well, the editor at Psychology Today saw it, and I have a link on there to my own book, and she saw the book and started getting interested in it because of taking up space, and so she contacted me and invited me, wanted to know if I wanted to blog on Psychology Today. So it was a total fluke.
Well, and
she saw the review and said, "Oh, that person knows how to write," and then contacted me. So,
and I would guess that you're probably the only fat-friendly blogger on Psychology Today. Is that correct?
No, actually, that's not true. There is at least one other, and I think that there's a third, but I don't know her. But Harriet Brown.
Oh, okay.
Is she does Brave Girl Eating, which I think is also the name of one of her books.
Yeah.
Is on there. So, and she and I have actually, like, you know, responded responses to each other in terms of the blogging, because you can connect to what other people have written
right.
in the blogging. And then I ran across another blog the other day, and I can't remember the name of it or the name of the person, but I made a mental note to myself. I need to go look at what she's done because it sounded fat-friendly. The title of it sounded like it was. So there may be another one on there. However, there are a lot of people on there who are not that friendly, and
right.
I frequently get some very, you know, I'm trying to make everybody fat, and
right.
You know, I don't think of anything of health and so forth. You know, if I write anything, I get some really sharp criticisms, which I've learned something from being on Psychology Today. It's a lot more fun to be the protested than the protester.
Yeah.
You get a lot more attention. You get to talk a lot more, you know, and it feels a little more powerful than it does when you're just like, writing letters out in the blue to tell people to stop doing things. So I'm going to try that more often. See if I can get protested more often.
Absolutely. Well, as Marilyn says, be a rebel.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Well, listen, Patty, thank you so much for chatting with me today about the work that you're doing. And I hope that my listeners will go check out PDA Nation on YouTube and also your blog Through Psychology Today.
Yep. The blog is called I Take Up Space.
I Take Up Space. Yep. Yes, we do.
I have one last little thing that I forgot to say that I want to say.
Sure.
One of the reasons that I think that looking at fat stigma is so important and why I'm glad to be doing it on Psychology Today is that we live, you know, Western civilization. So I'm saying we, I mean, you know, anywhere that Europeans have touched, which is pretty much all over the world now, have this whole idea that we're no good unless we got something over on somebody else, right? And this is really what stigma is born out of, is this idea that I'm okay if I can show that I'm better than you.
Right.
And so when I fight fat stigma, I try not to fight it from the point of view of wanting to make life good for just fat people. I think that what's important is that this is proof that our societies are, you know, this idea in our society is going to lead us downhill, or already has. Because basically what we're saying is that eventually we've got to hate everybody else. And I think we're seeing that because, you know, by defining 65% of the population as fat and then stigmatizing 65% of the population for being fat, we really are setting up a very dysfunctional society. And I see that, unfortunately, being repeated in a lot of places. So I consider this work not just important for fat people. I consider it important for, you know, the basic health of society.
Absolutely.
Have that for an ending.
I think that's a perfect ending. That's a great place to stop. Patty, thank you so much for coming on today.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you for being interested.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Spotlight today is a blog from the Fat Heffalump. Fat Heffalump is one of my favorite blogs to read, and it's all about living with fatitude. The title of the blog is We've Done Our Time, and it was published on September 19th, 2011. Quote, a little questionnaire for you all. How many years of your life did you put into trying to be thin? How much of your life did you put on hold while you tried to be thin? How old were you when you first remember being told that you were fat? How many diets have you been on? How many exercise plans have you been on? How many years of your life have been taken up with eating disorders? How many people have told you that you are fat? How many people have treated you badly because you are fat? How many years did you spend counting calories, watching the number on the scale, or the size label on your clothes? Now, tally the sum of all of those years. All that time, all those diets, all those times you made yourself sick in the effort to get thin, all the punishing exercise regimes, all the hurtful experiences, add all those numbers together. Take that number, write it down, look at it for a minute, and ask yourself, don't you think the fat haters should invest the equivalent amount of time, the same number of years, in trying as hard to be a decent human being as we fat people invested in trying to be thin? Fat people are not the ones with the problem or who are in denial. Fat people are not in denial of being fat. We know we are fat, and in choosing fat acceptance, we accept ourselves exactly as we are, and we accept others exactly as they are. You can let go of all of those numbers now. Set yourself free of the pain that those numbers represent. You're off the hook. You've done your part. Close your eyes and imagine that all those instances of trying to be thin or being bullied and shamed for being fat are balloons filled with helium. Imagine them in your hand, bobbing above you, all different colors. Now open your hand and let them go. You don't have to carry them anymore. This isn't about giving up. This is letting go and deciding that you control your life, not other people who feel they have the right to judge you. This is about deciding to live your life to the fullest you can. People who think that fat people are somehow worth less as human beings as thin people, that fat people deserve to be shamed, discredited, their experiences denied, and generally just shamed and bullied for being fat, are the ones who have the problem. They just can't get on with their lives and let people be who they are, as they are. We are not the ones in denial. It is the fat haters that are in denial. Unquote. This piece, We've Done Our Time, from the Fat Heffalump, is one of my favorite things from that blog, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. Go check it out for yourself. There's lots of other great posts. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you'll tune in again next week on Access Manoa 2, 9:99 a.m. Remember, you can contact the show by emailing friendofmarilyn@aol.com. Closing the show is Queen Latifah with When You're Good to Mama.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the keeper of the keys, the countess of the clink, the mistress of Murderer's Row, Matron Mama Morton.